When I moved to Colorado from humid sea level South Florida, I had a very hard time adjusting to the altitude and the dryness. It took me months to be able to fall asleep after I figured out a humidifier would help as much as it did. I couldn't drink enough water, so I found powders and things to add to it to help to hydrate. I felt completely parched and I was very much aware of it. My heart rate was higher. I felt out of breath. And the more water I drank with special powders, the better I felt. The more water I put in the air in my bedroom, the better I slept. I was very much aware of my thirst. It was very obvious. But you know, over time, you live here long enough, or if you're born here, you don't realize it. And you don't really recognize issues of being dehydrated until you see your doctor. And they tell you, you need to drink more water, right? You've got all these symptoms and these issues, right? With the kidneys or liver, or just, all sorts of bodily functions that aren't working properly because you're not getting enough water, but you're used to being dry. You're used to being thirsty. And you don't really make a change or do anything differently until it becomes a medical problem. Here in the gospel, Jesus offers living water. He recognizes that the woman is thirsty. She believes she's thirsty for regular water, but she's a woman rejected by her community. No one would come to the cistern to draw water walking kilometers in the baking sun at the hottest time of the day. You go in the morning when it's cool, or in the evening as the sun is setting. She went in the middle of the day because no one would let her near the cistern or near them when they were drawing water. Maybe she was unclean. She's had five husbands, and the one she's with now is not her husband. We just know that she was not accepted. The water she was drawing would only satisfy her thirst for the day, but she thirsted to belong. She thirsted to be loved. She thirsted to know her dignity. She thirsted for God. And Christ, in his mercy, goes out to her. He knows who she is. He knows when she will come. And he's there waiting for her by the cistern, not to condemn or judge, but to offer her something better. If only she could recognize what she's really thirsting for. In the beginning, she understands Jesus literally. This play on words, living water, he's referring to water flowing down a stream. That water is clean, right? Water in a cistern can develop bacteria and all kinds of disgusting things that fall in there. And so you've got to boil it. And then you got to wait for it to cool down to drink it, especially when it's hot. But living water, running water, and rivers are usually clean and cool and crisp, and you can drink it right away. But Jesus is offering her something so much more. She finally begins to understand when she confesses to him, I do not have a husband, and the one that I am with is not my husband. Her confession to Jesus opens the door. She recognizes that no man has satisfied her, and Jesus offers her something else, to be her husband, but not in the way those men have been to her, in a completely, totally different way that is life-changing. If you understood the water that I offered you to drink, you would ask for it, and you would never thirst again. Christ is offering her his very heart. You are thirsting for God, not water. You're looking for love, and none of your husbands have satisfied that. I will love you like no one else can, and no one else will, but only if you let me. You know, as Catholics, we are all thirsty. It's not because of the altitude. It's because we're made for love and we're meant to be loved. And we haven't always experienced that. In fact, oftentimes we feel the opposite. And so, as that famous song goes, we're, quote, looking for love in all the wrong places. And nothing satisfies. Until you get to a point where you realize no amount of money, no husband, no child, no grandchild, no physical appearance will fulfill you. Until you make a conscious recognition that everything this world has to offer will never be enough, we will continue drawing water from the cistern day after day after day. But when we allow ourselves to get to that moment to recognize that what we thirst for is something that no one or no things can give us in this life, only then do we find ourselves like the woman at the well, confessing to Jesus, "Lord, it's not enough. I want more. I need you." That's when our religion becomes a relationship. That's when our lives change. That's when we become really Catholic and not Catholic socially or culturally. That's when we become a Christian. Jesus reaches out to this rejected woman by her own people in a town that no Jew would walk through. Samaritans, as you recall, I've mentioned many times before, were Jews who denied their faith, intermingled their religion with the religion of the Babylonian gods so as to not be killed or thrown into slavery when they were conquered by Babylon. They kept their land. They stole the land of their neighbors who preferred to die for the faith rather than renounce their lives. And so they continued comfortably compromising their faith, marrying foreign women, worshiping foreign gods. And so when the Israelites were finally set free by King Cyrus, from what is today modern-day Iran, who conquered the Babylonians and told them, go back to your land, build your temple, worship God as you know how, well, the Samaritans were there. And the Israelites resented them. For hundreds of years, they suffered slavery. While they lived in comfort, stealing the land of their neighbors who were killed for the faith and taken away into slavery, and now they live comfortably, compromising their faith. They're unclean, hypocrites. They've denied their faith. They have not suffered as the Israelites had. And now the Israelites return to rebuild their temple and they refuse a penny from them. We'll build it ourselves. You have nothing, we'll build it ourselves. Stay away from us. And so Samaria and Israel were completely separate. And Jews that had to go south through Samaria would walk around it rather than go through it, lest they become unclean. The resentment still powerful centuries later. None of that mattered. Because Christ is love and forgiveness itself. He walked right through Samaria. He sat down at the well and talked to a woman by himself, which was forbidden by men, especially a rabbi. He's not constrained by human laws that are there because of human weakness. He is driven by love because he is love made flesh. And the woman that he encounters is not to condemn her for her sins, but to invite her to recognize why she sins and how she can be free from that sin if she finds her fulfillment in him alone. Christ is the same way in confession. As we approach him, we're thirsty, thirsty for mercy, thirsty for love, and we recognize and acknowledge the ways that we have sought love and every way that we know is not love and that never satisfies. We confess our sins in the hopes that we would leave behind the jar as she did, encounter Jesus, drink from his love, and then tell everyone about him. She had a brief encounter. And because of that encounter, that woman told everyone about Jesus and they believed in him because of her word. That's a good start, but that's not gonna sustain a life of faith. Some of you maybe are here because, well, your parents raised you Catholic, or your spouse made you come, or your parents made you come. Or you're here because, you know, something inspired you to become Catholic, someone. That's all fine, well, and good, but it will not be enough when you feel dry again and thirsty again, and you're tempted to go back to the well rather than to Jesus, whatever that well is for you, pleasure, sex, money, drugs, alcohol, whatever it may be. And Jesus offers us something greater. He offers us himself. When we spend time with him and we no longer believe because of the word of others, but because we have heard for ourselves, that's when our faith transforms and religion becomes what it's meant to be, a living relationship with God. The Samaritans experienced that. They went from believing because of her word to believing because of his word, because now they know him. They don't know about him from others. They know him personally, and that changed them forever. We know that this is truly the Savior of the world. So wherever you're at, whether you continue to draw water every day, knowing you're just going to be thirsty tomorrow, or you're here because someone has told you about Jesus and you believe them, or you're here because you believe him, we're all in the same situation. Only Christ can satisfy. He thirsts for you because he wants you to be happy. He thirsts for you, asking for you the gift of your heart so that you can be fulfilled. Because there's nothing more joyful for Christ than the human person fully alive in his love. Wherever you're at, he sits and he waits by that well that you keep drawing water from every day, only to become thirsty again. Not to judge you, but to offer you something different. This Lent, won't you take a drink?